gentlemen, thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. To ask a question at that time, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone and record your name when prompted. Also, today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Great. Everyone, my name is Miguel Gomez, and I'm the director of AIDS.gov, and I want to welcome you to this webinar today. And as the director of AIDS.gov, I want you to know that at AIDS.gov, we are committed to ensuring that the public, public health officials, and others have access to domestic federal HIV information resources on our AIDS.gov website. But also most important to the team at AIDS.gov is that we work to provide you information on new media and how we can use new media in response to HIV/AIDS and provide the HIV community an update on how communities are using the Internet and how we can use the Internet and new media tools to enhance the work we do. And I hope that all of you are reading our weekly blog on AIDS.gov on AIDS and new media. But let's get to the topic at hand. Today's call, we're going to focus on new media among underserved populations. We're going to focus today on communities of color. We hope this call will help our federal and other colleagues who are working on HIV/AIDS across the United States. You know, we're going to start by focusing to what extent are communities of color using new media tools. We actually titled this webinar, as you know, The Digital Divide, Underserved Populations and New Media Use. And as I've already noted, we're going to focus on communities of color, acknowledging that communities of color are often one of many underserved communities. As we move forward at our discussion, when we finish our discussion about where we are as a community on the Internet, we're going to discuss the use of a new media tool among communities of color that was created through a partnership at the National Institute of Drug Abuse, called Drugs Plus HIV Learn and Link Campaign. And after each of our presenters speak, we're going to be taking questions from you. And to move us forward through our presentation, we're very excited. We have Farr Janmar, who is the founder of Envision Solutions, and joining Farr is Alejandro Garcia Barbon, senior technical advisor at IQ Solutions, and he also consults with the National Institute of Drug Abuse. And again, as you heard from our operator, that this call is being recorded, but most importantly, you'll be able to hear an audio file of this call afterwards and get a transcript by going to AIDS.gov. And after today's call, for all of you online, we'll send you details about how to access that information, and we'll also send you a brief feedback form. So let's get started. Farr, I really want to welcome you and thank you for joining us. And sir, you know, here, this conference call is looking at the digital divide with an emphasis on communities of color. At AIDS.gov, we really, you know, try and define the digital divide by sort of modifying a definition from Wikipedia, mm-hmm. and that definition being, the term digital divide refers to the gap between people with and without effective access to digital and information technology. And Farr, to start us off, do you agree with that definition? Mm-hmm.
Miguel, yes, and I'd just like to thank you again for having me on the webinar. I'm very pleased to be here. And yes, I agree with this definition, and I would like to take a moment to further clarify what we mean by the digital divide, which really has three components at this in this day and age. The first, most traditional, the digital divide, focuses on computer access, and looking at the data, we've seen these gaps between different populations as it relates to computer use actually close over the years. The second digital divide really has to do with Internet access. And the third, newer divide, is between those with and without high-speed or broadband Internet access. And broadband Internet access is cable Internet and other forms of Internet connections that are much more robust than what we see with dial-up connections. People are able to download multimedia content much more easily, and they have access to a wider range of Internet technologies.
Farr, thank you. And actually, I want to take a step back and just sort of ask you a question then, and that was really helpful, sir. Is then, are communities of color using the Internet?
Miguel, yes. Although research has really shown that there are consistent gaps between people of color and the general population when it comes to internet access, the divide is really narrowing. In fact, certain populations are more likely to be online than whites. For example, according to data released by the Pew Internet and American Life Project in May 2008, English-speaking Hispanics are much more likely to use the internet or email than whites. In addition, about 60% of African Americans versus 75% of whites are using the internet or email.
Sir, that's really helpful, because unfortunately we often hear that that, and we need to counter the myth about communities of color and the internet. But let's get to what you really started us moving down the road. Sir, is there an economic digital divide?
Miguel, absolutely there is an economic digital divide. And in fact, the divide between people who are more affluent and less affluent, regardless of race, is actually wider than the gap that we see for people of color. So when it comes to internet access, those making less than $30,000 annually are much less likely to be online or have email access than those making more than $75,000. And when it comes to high-speed or broadband access, the gap is even larger. The Pew Internet and American Life Project reports that 31% of those making less than $30,000 a year have broadband connections at home versus 82% of those making more than $75,000. So when we look at the digital divide, we really have to focus less on the gap between communities of color and the general population, and more on the gap, regardless of whether a person is a person of color, in terms of the economic divide.
Thank you, sir, and I'm sure we'll have some questions from our audience about the issues you just spoke of. But I actually then want to really step into and looking that you've told us that communities of color are using the internet. When it comes to new media, how are communities of color using new media?
Well, Miguel, first I'd like to take a moment to define what new media means. I know that people have a number of different terms that we use for online technologies, such as blogs, online forums, social networks, wikis, and other technologies that have really been defined as using a number of different terms, including social media and social technologies. I'd also include mobile technologies in that in the definition of new media. So when we talk about new media, what we actually see is that for certain types of new media, research has shown that people of color are more active users of a range of technologies, including social networking sites and online forums. For example, a 2007 Yankelovich study really shows us that African Americans and Hispanics are more likely to use social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook than whites. And when it comes to blogging about health topics, people of color are also very active. A recent study by my company, Envision Solutions, shows that 38% of U.S. adults writing on health-focused blogs are either African American or Hispanic. So not only do we see that the digital divide is really narrowed when it comes to communities of color versus the general population, but we also see that new media use is very high amongst certain populations.
Bart, thank you. And thank you for starting off with describing briefly what is new media. And we've actually gotten a lot of calls since the start of the planning of this webinar, and we're going to focus on a future webinar on just defining what those basics are, because we have an obligation to make sure our colleagues are all at the same place in understanding. So thank you for that, sir. And now that you've sort of moved us through, one of the important questions for us, and especially us working on HIV/AIDS, is, is the public, are we using the internet for medical decision making?
Yes, absolutely. And focusing specifically on people of color, we know that people of color are not only going online to learn about health topics, but they're being influenced by information provided by what we call Dr. Webb. For example, another study released by my firm, Envision Solutions, shows that African Americans and Hispanics are more likely than whites to say they have doubted a medical provider's diagnosis because it conflicted with information they found on the internet. So clearly, the internet is having a big impact on medical decisions made by people of color.
And thank you, Bard, because, again, what's so interesting as a community of people responding who have a wealth of information, it's interesting that we know that across the spectrum, the target audience we're working to reach is actually using the internet to find information to make their health decisions, but also they're challenging what they're learning from clinics and healthcare professionals back on the internet. What I'd like to do, Bard, is to see if there's some questions from our participants. And Wendy, will you explain again, if people join late, how to ask a question?
Thank you. Once again, for parties to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will be prompted to record your name, and your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question.
And Wendy, do we have a question?
One moment, please.
Barbara, she's checking. We do have one question that's come in directly to me, which is just about, we've been focusing on communities of color, but when we're talking about access, can you tell us some data about what's true about access in rural America?
Yes, Miguel, rural Americans are accessing the internet. However, there are gaps, and Pew has done some great work in this area. And their latest data shows that only 38% of people living in rural communities have access to home broadband versus 60% of suburban adult Americans. You also see similar gaps when it comes to internet use as well. So I think when we're talking about the digital divide, we need to focus on economics as well as location.
Thank you, sir. Another question that did come in is, can you describe the use of Spanish-only speakers on the web?
Yes, the data on Spanish-only speakers, there's some great data coming from Pew on this very subject. And what we find is that Spanish-only speakers are much, much less likely to use the internet and to have access to the internet than English-speaking Hispanics. So if you want to look at gaps within populations, Spanish-speaking Hispanics are much less likely to use the internet and also a lot of these new media tools than English-speaking Hispanics.
Thank you, sir. And I'd actually like to drive our listeners' attention to a new resource that Univision and the Kaiser Family Foundation just put together on the internet called Yo, which is focusing on profiles of people living with HIV and their support networks, and we will send everyone some information on that. Wendy, is there any audio questions before I move to our next speaker?
Yes, we do have questions. Irene Miranda, your line is open.
Yeah, my question has to do a little bit more. Could you flesh out a little bit on your targeted demographic? You refer to your N being like 1,000. Is that your total population upon which you're drawing your conclusions? And what was the demographics of that targeted group, Mr. Bard?
Yes, thank you very much for that question. The study that I referenced as it relates to 1,000, the study was a nationally represented sample of 1,000 U.S. adults. And so the question specifically looking at African-Americans, Hispanics, and whites was based on a portion of that sample, which came to about 920 U.S. adults. And so the data was analyzed. There was also an other category, and that data was not included in this in these particular percentages. So with regard to answering your question, the data, the overall population for U.S. adults was a nationally representative sample of 1,000 adults, and then we looked at specifically those who are either African American, white, or Hispanic to look at the percentage of folks saying that they doubted a medical provider's opinion or diagnosis because of content they found online.
Thank you, sir. Wendy, is there one more question?
Yes, we do have another question. Tanya Gray, your line is open.
Hi. I wanted to know if you could discuss the use of new media in reaching young people 18 to 25 with messages of prevention and testing.
And actually, Tanya, I think I'm going to let Alejandro do that, and actually it would be a really nice transition to let Alejandro talk about his program, and if he doesn't answer your question appropriately, I'll re-ask it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And for those of this, we'll have another question and answer period. But let's get Tanya's question sort of incorporated in my the presentation that Alejandro Garcia Barbón is going to do. We're really excited to have Alejandro with us. As I mentioned earlier, he's with the National Institute of Drug Abuse's Drugs Plus HIV Learn the Link campaign. And Alejandro, thank you for joining us. And could you share with our listeners what that campaign is about?
Thank you, Miguel, and it's a pleasure to be here with all of you and sharing this information. The Learn the Link campaign, when we look at communities of color and we look at communities in general, when we look at the link between injection drug abuse or use and HIV, is very clear. However, when we're looking and talking about HIV, we don't seem to link HIV to non-injection drug use. So this campaign links these two, links the non-injection drug use plus HIV, and it's because when we look at high school students, we see that 70% will have abuse alcohol, and nearly 50% of all high school students will have abuse an illicit drug. So the Learn the Link campaign, we use TV, print, and web public service announcements, PSAs, posters. We use social networking sites and other tools to send a message to youth that using drugs and alcohol, even once, can have a serious health consequence, including the transmission of HIV. The campaign launched in 2005 with a PSA called Text Message, and that was targeting African-American girls. And after the campaign had been on for a year or so, we decided that it was time to look at another population, another target audience. So we took the text message PSA and we transcreated it to reach Hispanic girls. The new PSA is called After the Party, and that PSA was launched in October of 2007. The campaign is right now focusing on 12 cities across the United States and are the cities with the highest Hispanic population in the U.S. And so far, the After the Party PSA have garnered about close to $3.8 million in media value, worth of media value. So we're really excited about the campaign.
Thank you. And the fact that, to answer Tanya's question, that you are using web public service announcements, social networking, and other tools that allow kids to profile what it means to use drugs and alcohol, what it means to what HIV means to them, which is quite wonderful, and allowing for that texting component is very laudable. And we encourage everyone to go to your site and. Looping back just to make sure Tanya's question is answered, Tanya, there's also some other wonderful programs that the San Francisco Health Department and the D.C. Health Department are doing that allow young youth to opt in and be able to ask questions by texting if they're concerned about their behaviors and how it might impact exposure to HIV or if they need access to care. So there's a lot of ways, like Alejandro's campaign. And specifically, Alejandro, who did your campaign target?
African American and Hispanic girls, but Miguel, in more than Hispanic and African American girls, that's our target audience. But when one takes a look at the website and the materials and the information, we can also say that the campaign is also providing information to general population.
Great. So you're reaching people where they are.
Exactly.
What's your role in the campaign?
Well, my role, I'm a senior technical advisor, and I'm leading the Hispanic outreach, and to media outlets and to nonprofit organizations, and taking the message out to the Hispanic communities in general here in the United States.
Terrific, sir.
Now, the role of media plays a major player in the campaign. As the campaign, it's based on a media tool, which is the text messaging, a tool that we see more and more each day being used by teens, by young people, and even adults are starting to use text message now. We're also using the social networking sites such as MySpace to promote the new baby of the campaign, which is the webisodes. And the webisodes, they're based on they continue the story on the PSA after the party and text message PSA. It's a continuation of the story. And the way that we did the webisodes, they were focus tested in three cities, in two cities of United States, and an online focus test. The webisodes have a lot of the input that we got from the teens themselves, and we're finishing. If we take a look at the webisodes, and when you have a chance to take a look at the webisodes, each webisode finishes with an open-ended question, and to help keep the teen, to help keep the person, the listener, engaged, to see where the question that was. The cliffhanger of each webisode, if it's answering the next one. And it's basically to let them get engaged with the understanding the link between non-injection drug use and alcohol consumption and the transmission of HIV. Another very important tool, Miguel, that we will be using is the use of blogs. We are partnering with Blog Catalog, and we have invited AIDS.gov to participate on December 1st for World AIDS Day to Bloggers Unite for HIV/AIDS. Blog Catalog has a membership of more than 140,000 bloggers throughout the world, and on December 1st, we will be inviting all those bloggers, all those members, 140,000 of them, to write about HIV/AIDS, and we will provide them with a resource page packed with educational materials, information, PSAs, webisodes, etc., so they can take our message to all their readers and can also link to the resources that are out there and provide those resources to their blog readers.
Alejandro, thank you for that description, especially those webisodes. I've seen them, very exciting. And also thank you for the invitation and talking about World AIDS Day. But let's jump back and ask Wendy to remind people how to ask questions, and let's talk to the folks online.
Okay, we do still have some questions. One moment. Joe Cantil, your line is open.
My question was answered. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ramani Sarpata, your line is open.
Hi, I wanted to ask about, in terms of serving, I'm on this call because I serve Asian communities in Massachusetts, and I'm realizing that there was really no data in terms of what Asians are using in terms of the digital divide.
We didn't present that data during this call, but there's a wealth of data looking at how Asians use various technologies, including the internet, mobile phones, social networking, and what we see is that Asian Americans are more likely than whites to use a lot of these technologies, including the internet. In fact, when you compare Asian American use of these technologies versus African American and Hispanic, you actually see that Asians outstrip those groups as well as the general population. So when it comes to Asians, they're very much online and very active users of a number of technologies, especially mobile phones.
And Fard, will you explain to everyone this, the Pew data? You've referred to it before, and it is sort of a cornerstone of the most respected internet data. Can you explain to our listeners a little bit about the Pew data and where to find it?
Yes, a lot of the work that was done on internet access and broadband access is from the Pew Internet and American Life Project. Susanna Fox, who's an associate director of the Pew Project, has led a lot of that research, and she's actually doing some new research on social media use. And that new data can be found, and existing data can be found at www.pewinternet.org.
Wendy, do we have other questions?
Johanna Koskin, your line is open.
No, I don't have a question at this time. Thank you.
Jabbar Burton, your line is open.
Well, we have two questions. One question was, is the presentation going to be available anyway?
Yes, you'll be able to go to AIDS.gov and have an audio file and read a transcript.
This is Javier Salazar. I'm actually in the same office. We also had a question around how the text
PSAs got to the young women that y'all were targeting? How did you actually get the phone numbers to send those text messages?
Alejandro?
Well, the campaign is not actually that we're sending text messages to the individuals, to the individual cell phone. The PSAs are the first PSA targeting African American teens. It's called text message because it's the tool that it's used in the PSA, and it's the tool that is that the campaign is based off. It's based on text message, but we did not send those text messages to individual cell phones.
But to the texting campaigns, which young women opt or youth opt into receiving text messages, a wonderful woman named Deb Levine, who works in San Francisco and provides advice both to the CDC and to the DC Health Department, to allow youth to be able to ask very clear and concise questions through texting. And to learn more about the work of Deb Levine, there's a podcast of her and a transcript of her work by going to AIDS.gov, and you'll find that information right on the front page. They've probably one of the best documented sexual health messaging campaigns to date. I hope that answers your question, Javier.
Thank you. Thank you, Miguel.
Great. Wendy, is there another question?
Tanya Gray, your line is open.
Thank you. My questions were answered. My previous question was answered, but I do have a follow-up. In the webisodes, what is the address where those can be viewed?
The address for the webisodes is, if you can see it on your screen, is www.hiv.drugabuse.gov.
Okay, thanks. I just want to verify that it was the same.
And there you can also find the PSAs, both PSAs, the webisodes. You can also find other materials such as web banners that you can put on your website. And you can also email us and contact us by phone, and we can send you campaign DVDs and campaign CD-ROMs and posters and materials that we have on the campaign.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wendy, we have time for one more question.
One moment. Johanna Koskin, your line is open.
Yes, I was wondering at what point will you, let me rephrase that. On top of HIV/AIDS, will you be incorporating messages on co-infections, STDs, other issues that are as important to the target audience you're focusing on?
Right now the National Institute on Drug Abuse, we are only talking right now on HIV and the role that drugs, non-injection drug use plays on the HIV transmission. We have not had conversations yet as of moving forward with other STDs, but it's a great suggestion, and I thank you very much for the suggestion, and we will definitely we'll talk about it, and if we decide to move forward on that, we will also publicize it to through AIDS.gov and all the listeners for the webinars and the public.
And that's a great question to end on, because then I really want to thank the participant who asked the question, because looking across issues is so very important to us that our target audience, we need to address our STDs, hepatitis C, violence, and substance abuse, and really want to thank you for that question and directing us in the right course. And again, what I want to do is I want to thank everyone most sincerely for taking a half hour of your time to join us in a dialogue on new media. And for those people online who did not register for this call, if you send us an email to contact@aids.gov, we will send you details on where to find a transcript of this call. And please, everyone, fill out a brief evaluation that you'll be getting so we can improve the quality of this call and provide you information you want in the future. But not least, for federal HIV programs, for information on new media, please do go to AIDS.gov. And remember that we do blog on this topic each week. And we thank you for your time and your dedication in the fight against AIDS. Have a great day. Take care.
That does conclude our conference for today. All parties may disconnect at this time. Thank you.